Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a very senior professional from New Delhi, India, Dr. Dhruv Nath. Dhruv, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Great to be here.
Thank you. Dr. Nath is the director of the Lead Angels Network. He was earlier senior vice president of NIIT, and he's been a professor at the Management Development Institute, or MDI, Gurgaon. He's an author, and all of you know I'm very partial to authors. He's an author of two books. One is a book titled Funding Your Startup and Other Nightmares, and his newly published book, The Dream Founder. And we'll talk about both your books as well.
So there are books, but these are the two most recent ones.
Okay, so we'll talk about your recent books now.
Okay.
So, before we get to Lead Angels and the work that you are doing in investing, can you very briefly tell me about your own journey?
Okay. So maybe I'll start with college. I was at IIT Delhi. Did my electrical engineering, BTech, 77. Then I did my doctorate in computer science, also from IIT Delhi. I spent about 20 years with NIIT, where I think a large part of what I was doing was consulting. And it was consulting for, you know, bringing IT into organizations. So I consulted for many organizations like Nestle and Glaxo and Hindustan Lever and Indian Oil, lots of them. Then one day I said, enough is enough. I don't want to chase targets anymore. So I decided to become a professor, and which is where I joined MDI in Gurgaon. And I was a professor there for about 19 years.
Wow.
And I retired about 2 years back. Now, the interesting thing is that about 10, 12 years ago, you know, my students used to come to me and say, sir, we've started startup, or we are planning to start one. Can you guide us? Can you advise us? So I would sit with them, and you know, we'd have wonderful chats over chai and samosa at the open air canteen. And that's when I realized that this was really what I wanted to do in life. So that is where I became an angel investor. So it's about 10-12 years now. But much more than an angel investor, I think I'm a mentor to either existing startups or, you know, founders who are planning to start up. And I also became an author. So like I told you, I have five books, and these are the two most recent ones. So today, now that I've retired, actually, I'm a lot more busy than I was before I retired. But it is such fun. And, you know, I keep saying one thing. At the age of 67, which is what I am today, my career is just beginning.
Absolutely.
The best is yet to come.
Yet to come, absolutely. And you and I are the same vintage.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? So, you know, I'm so happy you've given me the segue to the next set of questions, which is on angel investing. For my viewers and listeners, Dhruv, tell me, what is the difference between angel investor, venture capitalist, and a private equity investor?
Oh, wonderful. Okay, slightly long answer. You must realize, Ashutosh, I've been a professor, so I like long answers.
Agree, but
people interrupting me.
Agree, but only thing is, please remember, this class is only for 25 minutes.
Obviously.
So we have to cover many subjects.
Yeah, okay. So, so first of all, an angel investor typically, okay, I'll take a parallel from the stock market. There are two ways in which you can invest in the stock market. One is, you know, you like HDFC Bank or Reliance Industries or whatever, and you decide to invest in it.
Sure.
The other one is, you want to invest in the stock market, but A, you don't have the time, and B, you don't have the know-how. In which case, what you will do is to invest in a mutual fund.
Correct.
And the fund manager manages the money you have given him, and he decides where to put in the money. Right. If I were to take this parallel into the world of startups, an angel investor is typically a person who invests money on his own.
Okay.
Or it may be through a network, but ultimately it's his own decision, right? So I may want to invest in Byju's or Meesho or whatever. Whereas I want to be in the world of startups, or an organization wants to be in the world of startups, they want to make that money, but A, they don't have the time or the know-how. So what they would do is they would give it to a fund manager, which is very similar to a mutual fund manager. And that's what we call a VC.
Okay, got
it. So the VC essentially is like a mutual fund where they collect money, but then after that, the decision is theirs. And typically, you know, these are close-ended funds. So let's say the VC says 7 years, and at the end of 7 years, he has to get an exit. And therefore, you know, the investor gets the money back, right? So that's the fundamental difference.
Right.
Because of this, there is one issue, which is, you know, since the angel invests his or her own money, he can take far higher risks.
Correct.
Right? Because it's his own money. The VC cannot, because he's running a business. He can't take that kind of risk.
Yeah.
Which is why a VC typically invests at a much later stage than an angel. So the angel would be early stage, where, you know, the business is unproven, unknown, etc., etc. The VC looks for a later stage investment, at which stage things are more stable. You know, the business is proven, reasonable amount of traction. That's what he does. And a private equity actually is not conceptually not really different from a VC, except that it's a much later stage investment. And typically it's into a mature industry, a mature business, right? Okay. A VC is still investing at a growth stage. It's still very high risk. Private equity essentially is, you know, you have lots of mature companies which are not listed, but they're mature. You know, they've been around for 10, 15 years and they're stable companies. Private equity would be like a VC, but they invest at that stage. So
very
that's broadly the difference.
Fascinating. And what a great response. Thank you. The next question, and, you know, as you were just telling me before we started recording about, you know, the number of people you have interacted with and mentored. For a startup founder, when should he or she decide to raise money? Is it whenever it's available, or should they bootstrap as long as possible?
Okay. Good question. First of all, it is not necessary to raise money. I have seen a lot of startups which have bootstrapped continuously, and they've done very well, and they've been growing.
Correct.
I think it is... Raising funding is if and when you need it, not because it is there, right? They will, I mean, if you're running a good, solid business, there will always be angels and VCs chasing you.
Correct.
But that's not the right time to raise money.
Mm.
Typically, what you should be doing is you should use your own funds and maybe, you know, your friends, family, and so on to build your product and to prove it in the market, right? Now, at that stage, you're not growing too much. You're basically looking at proof and you're probably going to be pivoting, modifying the product on a constant basis. Now, once you've done that, then, you know, one of the important issues that we must remember is this is the world of the internet.
Correct.
Right? In the internet world, ultimately, in any one vertical, you will not have more than four or five leaders, and these are the survivors. Right?
Correct.
Everybody else typically either dies or pivots completely, or is bought out. Right? So, now that you proved your business, it is important to grow so that you become one of the survivors and hopefully the leaders, or, you know, you become something that the one of the leaders wants to buy out. Right? Otherwise, you have no hope.
Correct.
You probably die.
Mm.
That is the time that you need growth, solid growth, and that is therefore the time you may need money. I would say that is the best time to raise money.
Okay.
In fact, I would give I'll give a couple of quotes. And
sure.
This one is from Sanjeev Bikhchandani, the founder of Naukri.
Yeah.
He says the customer's money is far more important than the investor's money.
Mm.
If you have the customer's money coming in, you'll probably get the investor's money anyway. But if you have the investor's money, but you don't have the customer's money, which basically means that your product is not something the customer wants on an ongoing basis, even the investor's money will dry up. So I think very important right now, initially, is make sure the customer is willing to give you money, prove your product, go for growth. That's the time you need money.
Well said. Well said. Now, coming to you as an angel investor and Lead Angels Network, tell me about Lead Angels Network and the kind of work you are doing.
So first of all, I would assume that your audience may not be too familiar with the concept of a network, so I'll just explain that.
Sure.
See, if you go back about, let's say, 20, 25 years in time, when angel investing was very new to India, you probably had about 300 or 400 angel investors. And these were real super rich guys, you know, people like Nandan Nilekani and Narayan Murthy, Azim Premji, and so on. Now, what has happened is, over the last 20 odd years, there is a phenomenal boom in internet-related startups.
Correct.
Therefore, there is phenomenal interest among the common man. Look, boss, I also want to make money out of this, right? I have seen Baiju's valuation soaring just at a absolutely scorching pace.
Correct.
Why can't I make that kind of money?
Yeah.
So, there is a new class of investors that has come up, angels, and I call them, I have an interesting term for this, I call him the Aam Aadmi angel investor.
Wonderful.
Which, by the way, has nothing to do with the political party.
Yep.
So, the Aam Aadmi angel is guys like me. You know, salaried people, maybe lawyers, maybe chartered accountants, maybe doctors, maybe middle-level salaried people. They cannot invest what Azim Premji could, but they definitely can put in 5 or 10 lakhs into a company, right? And it's a large number of these guys. Now the point is, an angel, see, there are two issues. The, you know, the rich angel 15, 20 years back, the super rich, the HNI, had his own accountants, lawyers, business analysts to be able to evaluate opportunities and create whatever. Angel has nothing. He's alone. He's on his own, right? Or her own. Secondly, if let's say a startup wanted to raise 2 crores for Azim Premji or, you know, Narayan Murthy, what is 2 crores?
Absolutely.
No, I'll put it in. But for the Aam Aadmi angel, he's putting in only 5 lakhs or 10 lakhs. So you probably need 30 of these guys together. That is where an angel network comes in. So it's like a club.
Okay.
So let's say it's a parallel to Delhi Gymkhana Club, where the members are angel investors and the club, which is the angel network, has its own employees.
Okay.
And for example, at Lead Angels, we have about 15 to 20 employees.
Mm.
Now, what we do is two things. A, we bring in potential startups. We evaluate them. And then when we find that they are worth investing in, we put them up to our members. Right? So each member then decides whether or not he or she wants to invest. And then there is a very long process, a very stringent process, in fact. I would say one of the big strengths that we have at Lead Angels is we are very process oriented. So, you know, it's a very risky business, right? So the chances of failure, therefore, come down. Right? In the process, we may have missed out on some good opportunity, but that's okay. We are willing to live with that. So, A, we bring lots of people together to fund a startup, which is one of the problems I had raised.
Yeah.
And secondly, we then support them at all stages, whether it is business analysis, due diligence, legal due diligence, creation of the shareholder agreement, and so on. So, for all this, we support them. And which is why now the Aam Aadmi angel finds it very easy to invest in startups. As against, you know, 20 years back when there were no such networks. So broadly, that's what
we do. Interesting. Wonderful. And what are some of the metrics you look for before, or not just metrics, but what do you look for before you decide that this is a project worth sharing with your network?
Okay. Interesting. So I will share, in fact, what we do at Lead Angels is actually encapsulated in these two books.
Okay.
The Dream Founder and Funding a Startup. In fact, Funding a Startup says Funding a Startup and Other Nightmares, because funding is not an easy process.
I know, yes.
So, what we look for is, I will give you an acronym, which I have in the books. It's called PERSISTENT. PERSISTENT. And each letter of this word persistent stands for something.
Right.
For example, P stands for problem. Are you solving a problem for somebody? If not, then in the long run, you won't have customers. Right?
Right.
E is earnings model. Is that customer willing to pay you, or is somebody else willing to pay you for getting these customers?
Correct.
Right. And so on and so forth. Now, within persistent, there are, I think, 3 or 4 top-notch things that we look for. Number one, and most important, and I can't emphasize this enough, is the founder or the team of founders. Right. We have a saying in our industry, if you have a great business model, but an average team of founders, it doesn't work. But
Right.
if you have an average business model, this team will figure out a way to make it work.
Correct.
So the most important is the team of founders. That's number one. Number two, and again, these are not in any order. I'm just giving it to you at random. Number two is scalability. See, it's extremely important for a startup, firstly, to be operating in a large market, so potentially it can grow. And two, it has the ability to grow fast. Very simple reason. Because if you don't grow fast, you know, you have possibly 100 or maybe thousands of people who are doing something similar.
Correct.
They may grow faster than you. They'll eat into your market share and kill you. Right.
Right.
So scaling up is extremely important. Also, as an investor, you must appreciate the fact, you know, why are we investing in startups? Had we been interested in getting, let's say, 15 to 20% return, the stock market is good enough without taking too much risk in the long run, right? HDFC Bank, Hindustan Lever, ITC, these will give you that kind of return. So we need much more. Because we need much more, the guy, the startup that we invest in has to have a model which scales up very fast. So scalability, rapid scalability is very important. Third thing we look at is what is called the entry barrier, where, you know, what do you have which is a competitive advantage and which can keep other guys out? And extremely important, not just other guys today, but potentially other guys tomorrow. Right? So that's our entry barrier. And each of these is a letter in the word persistent, by the way. Capability is S, entry barrier is E. And the last thing we look at, most important, well, they are all most important, but this is also most important, is traction.
Okay.
Because, you know, what has happened is, Ashutosh, for the past, let's say, 10, 12 years, a lot of angel investors have been investing based on excitement. Wonderful model. Great. You know, the customer is going to love this. Many of us have lost money. And therefore, today, we have come to a stage in the last, I would say, 3-4 years, where we are saying, okay, show me proof. So show me enough traction. Are you getting customers? Are they increasing month on month, quarter on quarter? Are those customers giving you revenues which are increasing month on month? Are your unit economics moving towards positivity? These are very, very important because, you know, earlier we used to second guess what the customer might do.
Right.
Now we've realized that's not enough. You actually must see the customer coming and buying and coming and buying repeatedly.
Well said. Well so said.
The top things we look
fabulous.
At.
And now let me take the conversation to the other side from the perspective of this founder. Based on a lot of people you must have spoken to, evaluated, it is generally said 1 in 10 make it. What, in your opinion, are some of the basic mistakes a lot of startup founders make?
Okay. So if you're okay, I'll share with you a story.
Sure.
Okay. And this is one of the startups that came to us for funding. It's actually a wedding gift registry. Now, for your audience in the Western world, they probably know what this is. But in India, I would imagine they don't. So I'll just explain what that is. It's basically an e-commerce site. So, you know, the problem with weddings is that you have a lot of unwanted gifts, mostly useless gifts or duplicate gifts, right? And mostly they are, you know, stuck in the stores and you keep waiting for the next wedding so you can pass on the silly gifts, right? So it's a cyclical industry. Gifts keep getting passed on from person to person. The solution in the Western world is to have a wedding gift registry, which means the couple that is getting married goes to this gift registry, which is basically an e-commerce site. And the registry has lots and lots of choices. And all these are gift items. So it could be, you know, tea set, cutlery set, crockery set, linen, etc., etc. And this couple then selects out of these products and says, okay, these are the 20 items I would like. And that becomes their wish list. And in the card that is sent out, and normally it's an e-card or a WhatsApp message, there is a link, a hyperlink into this wish list.
Correct.
Right? So the guest who receives this goes to the wish list, follows the link, and decides which one to buy. And the moment that person decides to buy it, he has to pay and it's delivered, you know, a few days later after the wedding. Right. So that's a typical wedding gift registry and it solves a lot of problems. And it seems to be working extremely well in the West. Now, these people came to us there were three problems they faced. Right? Number one, there is a cultural issue.
Correct.
Okay. So are your is your audience? I mean, can I speak in Hindi also? No,
they can speak Hindi. Yeah, yeah. You can speak
okay.
Hindi also.
Okay. So, and I'll translate it for the guys who can't understand Hindi. So, you know, just imagine between a mother and her daughter, a conversation. Daughter's planning to get married and she's created or creating this wedding gift registry. So, what will the mother say to the daughter? Hai, hai, tu naak katwaegi hamari. Sari biradari mein. Gift demand kar rahi hai. Kaise kar sakte ho? You know, how can you demand a gift?
Correct.
It is expected that you will get a gift, but you can't demand it. So that's a huge cultural issue.
Absolutely right.
You know, in the West, it's okay to create this registry. But in India, it's a cultural issue. Absolutely. And we realize this, yeah. Right? So that is issue number one. And, you know, I think the big mistake a lot of founders make is they see something working in the West and they blindly pick it up and transplant it into India.
True.
It doesn't work. You need to understand the local culture.
Correct.
And you can't change culture.
Correct.
You know, you can't say, I'll spend money. You can't change it. I mean, it's probably there for 100 or 200
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
So that is number one, which means understand the culture and talk to your customer. Mm. Right. Second, you know, I remember I spoke about the earnings model.
Yeah.
Is your customer willing to pay you? We realized something very interesting that was happening. Customers, which is typically friends of the couple who are getting married, they would go to the wedding gift registry. And they say, okay, great, I'm going to buy this. But then they would say, hang on, let me try Amazon. Now I know what the couple wants. Now I'll go to Amazon and buy it there.
Yeah.
It was cheaper. It was much cheaper. Why? Because Amazon deals in huge volumes and they can arm twist.
Right.
All vendors. Mm-hmm. These guys are a small company. They can't, right? So the second issue is, do you really have an earnings model?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of founders make this mistake. These guys did the same. Mm-hmm. Look, what we are doing is unique.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't realize actually it was not unique. Amazon, mm-hmm. the buying was happening on Amazon, right? So that's issue number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, it is so easy for Amazon itself to get into the wedding registry business.
Correct.
And they have, right?
Yep.
So the mistake they made was they said Amazon is not into this business. The question they should have asked was, can Amazon easily get into this business?
Correct.
Right? So for instance, one good possibility could have been a different business model where these guys created the registry, but the fulfillment, the delivery, the actual business would be on Amazon, which means they are a kind of partner to Amazon.
Correct.
That may have worked, right?
Absolutely.
So the business model was flawed.
Mm.
So I think there are these, you know, entry barrier they didn't think of.
Very interesting. So I keep looking at the clock as well. I want to talk a little bit about your books. You know, tell me about your latest book, The Dream Founder.
Yeah, sure. That's
sure, though. Yeah.
So, you know, when we wrote the first book, which was this Funding Your Startup, this was in response to, I told you, I've been mentoring a lot of young people. I've been investing in founders, in startups. And I realized that, you know, a lot of things that these people did, a lot of mistakes, a lot of the questions were common.
Yeah.
So, which is why we decided to write this book.
Yeah.
Which is Funding a Startup. Because that is, I would say, one of the most critical questions, one of the burning questions that every founder asks me is, sir, how do I get money? So, we wrote that book. Then I realized that, you know, there are lots and lots of other issues which founders need to look at, right? For example, how do I get a co-founder?
Correct.
Who's the right co-founder for me? Okay. How do I build a team? Because I'm not able to attract people. How do I retain people? That's a very major issue in startups, right? I don't have a brand. Then how do I market? I don't have money. Right. How do I execute? Okay. So I realized that there were lots of things beyond funding which were very, very critical for a founder. So which is why I wrote the second book. And by the way, again, DREAM here is an acronym. So
okay.
DREAM, the D stands for dream big.
Okay.
Right? You can't dream small, otherwise, you know, somebody will kill you.
Absolutely.
R is right team. And the right team means partners, co-founders, employees, distributors, dealers, anybody who is part of your business, right? E is execution, right? A is attitude. I would say one of the most important issues.
Correct.
For example, you need to be persevering. You need to be able to take responsibility. You need to be able to say, nothing is below my dignity. Everything is my job. You can't do everything, but you have to be willing to. Right? M is something which I added after COVID, which is make opportunities out of crisis.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, this is during COVID. In fact, COVID has been a very significant opportunity for us as investors. See, because during COVID, you had two kinds of founders. One is you had the, you know, the guys who gave up. Look, I mean, I can't do anything. I'll curse the hell out of the Wuhan virus and I will watch Netflix all day, sack all my people and maybe play video games. The other kind is the guy who said, no, I'm going to fight. And I'm going to pivot. I'm going to figure out ways. And they actually, in many cases, pivoted and made an opportunity out of the crisis.
Correct.
Those are the fighters. And as investors, by the way, so the reason why COVID has been a benefit to us is the first question we asked, if the guy started in or before COVID times was, what did you do during COVID?
Correct.
If you just sat back and said, look, can't do anything, we'll just lie low. If you pivoted, then you're the guy we want to invest in.
Amazing. Right?
So these are the five aspects. And by and large, everything gets covered within this stream.
Well said. Well said. And on that note, Dhruv, and your incredible conversation. I mean, I could have carried on with you for an hour. You're such an interesting speaker and you have so much to speak about. Thank you for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for talking about angel investing, about startup founders. What was particularly fascinating was the entire conversation was laced with amazing stories, you know, and that's what makes a conversation so much more interesting for my viewers and listeners. Thank you also for talking to me about your two acronyms, Persistent and Dream Founder. I'm going to ask all my viewers and listeners to go and check out your books on Amazon. Both the books are, once again, Funding Your Startup and Other Nightmares and The Dream Founder. And finally, thank you again for sharing some of your amazing thoughts on so many different aspects. Thank you again and good luck.
Great. Wonderful talking to you, Ashutosh. And, you know, at our age, what we really have is stories.
Absolutely.
And that's what I like to keep sharing. And as I go ahead, I'll gather more and more stories. Because,
Absolutely.
You know, I love to spend time with young founders. Right. And every founder is one more story.
Absolutely.
Or one more series of stories.
Well said. Well said. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.